gospel for today from St. Mark. We have the normal kind of interaction of our Lord with the Pharisees over an issue related to the Sabbath. And there's at least a couple instructive things for us as we sort of near the end of this first week of Great Lent for us to reflect on as we continue our Lenten journey. The disciples are walking through a field, and they're hungry, and so they pluck some grain. Well, in the Pharisees' mind, that's harvesting, and harvesting is work, and you can't work on the Sabbath. And they rub it between their fingers to separate the wheat from the chaff, and so they're winnowing, and winnowing is work, and so you can't work on the Sabbath. So they're violating the Sabbath. Jesus could have responded by saying to them, "That's not work, come on, grow up. Just be, don't be so silly." But he doesn't say that. He instead tells them that you just don't understand the role of the law. You just don't get it. The law weren't made, and then God said, "Well, I need somebody to fulfill the law, so I'll make man." And man's role in life is to be constrained and bound by these laws. No, it's just the opposite. God created man, and then he created laws, instruction, and guidance for how it is that a human being could live in a way that's life-giving and fulfilling. So there's just to be sort of practical about it, two things that we can see from this interchange between Jesus and the Pharisees. It's very helpful to us. First, the law is not given to us for us to apply to other people. The Pharisees were always applying the law to other people, not themselves. Jesus is quite explicit about this elsewhere in the Gospels on many occasions. And we are very prone to do that. It's just like the human impulse, the fallen human impulse, is to be strict toward others and lenient toward ourselves. We've had a hard day, and we feel sorry for ourselves, and a little wine and cheese would go a long way toward making our life feel better on this fasting day. We understand it. We excuse it. It's perfectly understandable. But if somebody else does that, my goodness, what a rotten Christian they are. That's how we think. In one way or another, we evaluate, consciously, subconsciously, people's piety in ways in which we excuse for ourselves but are harsh toward them. So we ought not use the law to apply to other people. And by law here, I just mean, look in the context of Great Lent, we have the increased fasting guidance by the church, increased services, intensify our prayer, intensify our prostrations, our almsgiving, our acts of mercy to other people, all these things. Good for us to do, bad for us to apply to other people. Some people are ingredient readers, some people aren't. Don't worry about it, let them do what they do. Somebody eats hot dogs on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. God bless them. Maybe they have a blessing from their spiritual father to do that. I don't know. What business is it of mine? So we have to take this guidance from the church as directed to ourselves. Sure, if we're a parent, or maybe a priest in a parish, we have a role of giving guidance to other people, direction and help. But the very best thing that we can do for them is to apply this life of the church, this guidance of the church, these instructions for living our life in Great Lent and outside of Great Lent as well. First and foremost to ourselves. The best thing that our children can see in their parents is their parents are strict with themselves and lenient toward others. The best thing that parishioners can see is that the priest is strict with himself and lenient toward others. But then, of course, people need to be guided and directed and helped in ways that is appropriate if you are over them in some way. But we really run a great risk to our own souls if we're applying the rules of the church, let me call them rules for now, to other people. It's a great damage to our soul. The second thing to note about this dialogue, as I alluded to earlier, that we weren't created to fulfill the laws. The law was created to help us, to guide us. The way that St. Paul puts it is that the law is a tutor to lead us to Christ, to lead us to the one who fulfills the law. This is what Jesus says of himself in the Sermon on the Mount. I didn't come to abolish the law. It's not that it's a bad thing. I came to be its completion. It was pointing toward me, and now I'm here. And so the things that the church gives us, and by analogy to the Old Testament laws, the instruction that the church gives us, is yet all the more so to lead us toward Christ, to draw us, to pull us, to direct us to Christ. And all of these things that are given to us toward Great Lent are really the support structure which sort of funnels our life toward Christ. Now, when Christ says that he's the fulfillment of the law in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes on to say, in the Old Testament there was a law, don't kill. But I'll give you a new law. Under the fulfillment of the law, if you're angry with somebody, you've already killed them. That's a little bit higher of a standard. I'll give you another law. In the Old Testament, it said, fulfill your vows. But the new law is this. If you let your yes be yes and your no be no, every word that comes out of your mouth, you have to stand by. Nothing special if you say, I make a vow to do such and such. No, have some integrity. In the Old Testament, it said, don't commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So the fulfillment of the law turns out to be a much higher standard than the law. Much higher standard. The law that pointed us to Christ allows us to live a life in Christ that is a much higher standard, but not a higher standard because God has high standards and we're supposed to live up to them. He created the standards and now we have to somehow fulfill them. No, it's because this is what a true and beautiful and free life is. Can you imagine a life in which you're not angry at anybody? Not just that you don't kill anybody, but you're not angry at anybody. That's freedom. Can you imagine a life in which the words that come out of your mouth you really mean? You're not pretending. You're not hiding behind them. You're not making up an image. You're not saying things just to please people because you want them to like you. You're not being defensive and belligerent because you've got an ego to protect. Can you imagine a world where the words that came out of your mouth were genuine from your heart, filled with Christ's love? That would be amazing. Can you imagine in a world in which you didn't look at other people as objects to fulfill your pleasure? You saw other people not as objects but as gifts of God. We were created for one another. It's not good for man to be alone. God is himself, Holy Trinity, relational. He created human beings to be relational, not to use each other in a manipulative game for our own ends. So we don't look at another person to fulfill our desires, but rather to fulfill this wonderful and beautiful communion, being united in the body of Christ. So we so often see laws as burdensome, but the laws point us, or instruction or guidance and direction is burdensome, but these point us to Christ, and in Christ we fulfill a much higher law, but we fulfill it in the sense of this profound freedom. Not as a burden, not as a weight. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, our Lord says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the time of our life during Great Lent, which we let aside all of those things that encumber us from running after, following after Christ. And we let these structures which the church gives us be the framework in which our lives are sort of fed into this stream, in the entire, not just ourselves, but the whole community, toward experiencing this lightness, this beauty, this grace that this guidance and instruction gives us in the life of the church. That it will be for us a freedom from anger, inner integrity, really fruitful and beautiful, harmonious relationships. So God didn't make us to fulfill the law. He made the law to direct us toward him, and in him we'll find the freedom that each and every one of us longs for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.